7 minutes to mindfulness. Reboot your brain, recharge your energy, and reclaim your life. By Bjarne Nybøl. Since English is not my native tongue, please bear with me if I mispronounce anything. I find it important to relate my personal story and findings to you personally, rather than using a professional speaker. Forward. I was born and raised in Odense, Denmark's third largest city and the childhood home of fairy tale writer Hans Christian Andersen. After many years of draining professional work, I found that I had become much like the protagonist in Andersen's story, The Ugly Duckling. Like the duckling, I felt sad, bad, and beaten. I had trouble coping with intense pressure from work, and the less I coped, the more insistently the voice in my head whispered, "Don't expect too much joy from your average day." But after years of cheerlessly slogging through work and life, I came across a technique called mindfulness. To make a long story short, mindfulness returned me to the kind of life I once enjoyed and hoped to live again. By practicing mindfulness, I rediscovered attentiveness to the most important things in life, family and friends. Family and friends offer undeniable psychological and physical comforts, there's no question about that. But what if we could deepen the experience and extend the benefits of meaningful relationships with family and friends to other aspects of our lives, like work? Being attentive not only improved my work performance and output, more fundamentally, it enabled me to cope with the negative emotions that often arise in life's hustle and bustle. Mindfulness helped me develop a sense of satisfaction with myself as an individual and my life as a journey. In fact, mindfulness proved so helpful that I simply had to share this important learning experience with the world. Eager to learn the best methods for spreading my new knowledge, I obtained certification as a meditation instructor. I fell in love with and today follow the teachings of what I consider to be the great mentors of our time. Masters like Deepak Chopra, Eckhart Tolle, John Kabat-Zinn, Yonggi Mingyur Rinpoche and Jack Kornfield, just to name a few. I have combined their teachings and my own life experiences to create a unique and effective method of helping others improve their lives through mindfulness. I'm grateful that thousands of people have now benefited from my methods, books, apps, lectures, and workshops. It seems to me that our eagerness to achieve material success in the external, physical world makes us forget how to relax and recharge. Because truthfully, though we often ignore or suppress it, we were all born with the ability to relax and recharge. This book aims to turn your attention inward before you run headlong into the whirlwinds of life. I have found that quite a lot of people, especially women, have trouble sitting down and doing nothing, or doing something just for themselves. There's always some other task that has to be attended to before we let ourselves rest, some other chore to be done to help our children, bosses, spouses, or neighbors. These become our priorities, pushing our own desires to the bottom of the list. Priorities are a part of life, but this frequently means we continually postpone the time off we deserve. This is like a driver neglecting to fill up the tank. Such a mindset will never leave you with enough time to replenish your energy or carry out important tasks. The most common and compelling reason people give for participating in my mindfulness courses and workshops is to relieve stress. For many years, my workshops and courses were filled mostly with people on sick leave or who suffered with severe stress. Recently, however, I've noticed attendees turning to mindfulness for three major reasons. 1. Coping with stress. As I've said, many people seek mindfulness training because they suffer from or risk succumbing to stress. They desperately need to recuperate, recharge, and energize. 2. Looking for contrast. Some participants tell me that they have never truly experienced stress. Instead, they desire a healthy contrast to the daily grind that they have become accustomed to. One course participant even told me, "My life is completely colorless." As I see it, life is like a blank canvas. A canvas without color isn't worth much. You need color to create contrast. This contrast is what makes paintings and life interesting. And 3. Knowing yourself. Finally, some attendees want personal development more than anything else. They seek to understand themselves better through self-insight and self-awareness. Self-awareness helps them to see clearer, to judge whether or not they are heading in the right direction, and to make the necessary adjustments to keep life exciting. This type of attendee can achieve self-understanding in quick order through the art of mindfulness. All three types of attendees seek transformation through the power of the moment, and mindfulness and meditation help them achieve this goal. You must always be present in the moment for any transformation to take place. The result is always gratifying: increased energy levels, a greater capacity for relaxation, self-insight, and understanding inner happiness. Before you go on reading, let me quickly explain the general approach of this book. The Mindful Approach. Meditation has become a popular teaching tool. Many schools, companies, and organizations have begun to incorporate meditation into their schedules. You can practice meditation in sessions of, say, 7, 10, 20, or 30 minutes at a time. However, while meditation is an excellent technique or tool, mindfulness is something more. Mindfulness is a way of life, a philosophy intended to help you develop the capacity for living in and being aware of the moment. Most people experience mindfulness in the normal course of life. It happens every time we turn our attention to something and focus on that thing completely. We typically feel no need to label it, but most people feel its good effects without a second thought. It is intended to develop the capacity for living in the moment.